Today we're continuing our study in the book of James. We're going to be in James chapter 4 today. Last night, I had a dream. I got up here on the stage, I looked at the clock, and it was 10 till 11. 10:50, service gets done at 11 o'clock. I was getting up to preach. We had not yet done communion, not yet done baptism. And I thought, how am I going to do this in 10 minutes? And I woke up. I'm glad it was a dream. So we have a little bit more time today, but oh man, that has nothing to do with the message. That just tells you kind of where my mind was last night, apparently. So I'm glad it was not indeed reality, because that was absolutely terrifying to me. And probably terrifying to you guys, because you sit there and think, the roast is burning, Pastor. Let's go home, please. Okay, James chapter 4, to speak or not to speak. Now that's a question that sometimes we face in our lives, isn't it? Have you ever had that moment when you just feel the urge to say something, and you don't know if it's the right thing to say, don't know if you should say it, and so you wonder a little bit? Some of us, we don't wonder, we just say it, right? Okay, I admit, there are some of us like that. There are days that, the filter falls out, okay? We've had moments. But these times in our lives when you think, should I say it, should I not say it? And this happens in marital relationships, this happens in friendships, this happens in church relationships, this happens at city council meetings, right? I mean, all these things, this happens. And you see people sometimes who don't use wisdom well sometimes in deciding, is this a time for me to speak or not to speak? James talks very clearly about this. We've been talking about how James is wisdom for living the Christian life. James gives us wisdom. Wisdom for living the Christian life. James, we've illustrated it using the chessboard, how James, throughout the book, he gives us different pieces of our life that help us gain victory. We talk about not showing partiality. We talk about being humble. He talks about rejoicing in trials, finding the joy in trials. These are different pieces of the Christian life that helps us gain victory. And then James talks about different things, how the different moves we can make to use those pieces well. He says in James 1, be doers and not hearers only. He talks about how we should, this faith that we have should lead us to do things, right? Not because we're fearful of our salvation, but because of the role that God has for us. There's different moves that we can do. But he also talks in James about things that can destroy relationships, that can destroy that victory that could be gained. We talked last week about the quarrels and fights that come among us because of selfish desires. And this week he's continuing that whole idea of the bad moves that we can make sometimes, and this whole theme of to speak or not to speak. James chapter 4, beginning of verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? God, we come to you today, and I'm asking for wisdom. James is written so that we can have wisdom, so we can gain victory in our life. And I pray that we'd be able to apply this passage to our lives, God, that you would help us as a church. You would help us as families, as individuals, to do this well. In Jesus' name, amen. In your bulletin, you'll find an outline to follow along with, kind of fill in the blank. The central idea of the sermon is this, that James teaches us that judging others discredits God's law, while loving others fulfills God's law. And we have to answer the question, which option will we choose? Specifically, which option will we choose in regards to our speech? Loving others fulfills, while judging others discredits. And this is kind of the whole idea of this. And what James is talking about there in James chapter 4, when we read this whole passage, he says, look, if you speak evil, if you judge, you speak evil against the law. And there's only one judge. There's only one lawgiver. And who are you? Who are you to judge? So let's look first at the context of this. They say in order to really understand a passage, you got to understand the context of the passage, right? We're not going to go back very far. We're going to go back one verse, okay? The context is one verse in James chapter 4, verse 10. He says what? Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. What's the context of this? Well, the context is this. Humble yourself. He says right there, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. And then next, the very next phrase, do not speak evil against one another. I sit there, and as I was reading through this and studying this week, I thought, man, God, if we did verse 10, then would verse 11 even be necessary? Has that ever occurred to you that if we did verse 10, if we humbled ourselves, then verse 11 wouldn't even be necessary? It's like the Holy Spirit is talking to James, said, James, you know what? Humble yourselves before the Lord. Absolutely, James, that's right. This is the idea I've given you. But James, they're not going to listen. So therefore, we've got to move right into verse 11, which is, do not speak evil against one another. And I sit there and I process through that. And I'm like, my goodness, doesn't God know the human heart? Which I know Scripture says that, right? But this is pure evidence to me that God understands the human condition. Because he says, humble yourself. And then right after that, he says, do not speak evil. Knowing that we're not going to actually be able to humble ourselves. I mean, we fail miserably. Have you ever considered the idea that, well, for example, children. Do we have to teach children to say no to us? No. Anybody who's been a parent, you understand that. That just comes natural, doesn't it? Do we have to teach children these different things? We have to teach children sometimes to talk back. Do we have to teach children that, you know what, it's so that they, do we have to teach them how to make a mess? Do we have to teach them how to do those things? No, we don't have to teach them. They do those things naturally, don't they? God, in his word, he only gives us instructions to do what comes unnaturally. He doesn't have to tell us to sin. He tells us how to deal with sin, right? Ephesians chapter 5, I was thinking about this week, and Ephesians chapter 5 is such a great example because in there he tells husbands to what? To love your wives. 1 Peter tells husbands to live with your wives in an understanding way. And why would he say to do that? How many men here get your wife? How many of you actually understand your wife? James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourself. We don't get it, do we? Most of us just don't get it, okay? And so God says, look, you got to love your wife and you got to understand your wife. It doesn't come naturally to men to do either one of those things. Men are not known for being loving, are they? Let's face it, we're just not, right? I'm a redneck from Iowa, okay? And I identify with Dennis, who went to the military, said, I went to the military to learn to kill things, to blow things up. I'm like, yes, that's my childhood, okay? I love hunting and I love fireworks. You put those things together. No, you don't put them together, okay? But these are things that I enjoy doing. Typically, men are just, they're just not known for their exuberant love to the world, are they? So God has to tell us, love. And when it comes to women, it just fries our mind. We don't understand them at all. And God says, look, you got to understand your wife or your prayers will be hindered. Well, prayer is a pretty big deal. And so God gives us a big incentive to try to understand our wives. But let's think about women. What does he say to women? In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, women, respect your husbands. Why does he say that? Well, it's not natural for a woman to respect the man she's married. Love, yes, absolutely. I will love my husband and I will tell my husband what to do so I can continue loving my husband, right? These things happen. God gives us instructions to do things that don't come naturally. And in James chapter 4, in fact, in the whole book of James, he repeats himself over and over and over again. Humble yourselves. Why? Because it doesn't come naturally. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Submit to God. You know, verse 6, it talks about that. Submitting to God because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You see these things? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And then he says this. This is the instruction that he gives us, the command. Don't speak evil against your brother. Knowing that we're going to fail in verse 10, and if we're honest with ourselves, we all do this. Because whether we like it or not, we make judgment calls, don't we? We really do. We make judgment calls. If a guest comes in here, there's part of that back of our mind, and I don't know why it's this way. It doesn't matter who it is. Somebody comes in the door, we think, well, do I want to shake hands with this person? Do I not want to shake hands with this person? Right? I mean, sometimes there's just this little thing. I'm conveniently busy at this very moment. Have you ever had that thing? And sometimes it's a coworker. Sometimes it's somebody you at a high school reunion, something like that you just kind of want to avoid. We make a judgment call. And we avoid them. And sometimes in our speech, we do the same things where we make a judgment. And then we begin to spread that judgment around. And God says, he says, look, don't speak evil against your brother. This is the command I gave you. Don't speak evil against your brother. And then he gives us some reasons why we shouldn't do this. He says, look, speaking evil against your brother does what? It's speaking evil against the law. And you say, well, how do you get that? Well, in James, it says, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. Well, what is the law? And how is speaking evil against my brother judging the law? What does that make sense? Well, we're going to back up in James. In James chapter 2, verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You really want to fulfill that law? And if you really do it, then you are doing well. Love your neighbor as yourself. Does that sound like humbling yourself just a little bit in there? Not thinking yourself more highly than you ought to? These are the type of things that James says. Look, the royal law says to love your neighbor as yourself. If you fulfill it, you're doing well. And then in chapter 4, verse 11, he says, the one who speaks against a brother or judges a brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. Because what's the law? To love your brother as yourself. It's what James says there in chapter 2. And now we're in chapter 4, and he says, if you speak evil, you're judging the law. You're speaking against the law. And how is that? Well, because you're saying that this law doesn't apply to you. This law doesn't apply to me. James, I know that's the royal law, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make this judgment call. I'm going to speak evil against my brother because this whole thing, it just doesn't matter to me. I became a judge of the law then to say that law is not necessary in this instance. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see how speaking evil against a brother, how making that judgment call and then spouting out whatever it is, you're discrediting what God has said. You're saying, God, you know what? That doesn't apply to me. And I don't know about you, but when I have a child that tries to tell me that my rules don't apply to them, does that kind of damage that fellowship that I have with that child? Absolutely. They're still my kid. They're still the relationship. But all of a sudden, there's not that oneness that was once there until we get that straightened out. And God is trying to straighten this out for us. He said, look, don't speak evil. If you speak evil, then you're judging what I have told you to do. And you're saying that what I've told you to do isn't important. And that, my friends, is not cool. That's Hebrew, right? Not cool. That's a big thing, all right? You got to understand this. These things are very important. And then he goes on to say, he says, look, speaking evil against your brother makes you a judge, not a doer. Now, why is that important? Well, it says in chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you're a judge there in verse 4, if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And in chapter 1, he says, but be doers and not hearers, because you deceive yourselves if you do that. And so here we are, we begin thinking that I'm all that and more. I don't need to follow God's law. The royal law isn't good for me. It's not important to me. I'm going to go ahead and judge my brother. But by doing so, then I am no longer doing what God has said I'm going to do. I should do. I become a hearer only. And so then I become, in reality, no better and probably worse than that person that I'm judging. You know, they say, we tell kids that if you point one finger out, there's three fingers pointing back at you, right? And we forget that as adults, don't we? We really do. We forget that as adults. And I sit here and I think of us as a church. I mean, we're a family. Sievert yesterday, Sievert's birthday party was yesterday. He turned 80 today. Today is Sievert's birthday. He turned 80. He came up to me during the party. He said, you know what, Pastor? He said, this is my second home. Coming to church is my second home because we're his family. He almost made me cry because it's just that relationship that's there. But because of that intimate relationship we have the ability to hurt one another very, very deeply. We have the ability to do that. And James is talking very clearly. He says, look, don't speak evil. Don't do it, because as soon as you do that, you're causing a hurt. And you're becoming, in your own mind, well, not in your own mind, but you're becoming, actually in God's mind, you're becoming hypocritical. Because you're not doing at all what God told you to do. It goes in one ear and out the other, and you try to become God. That's what happens when we speak evil against a brother. That's what happens when we spread rumors. That's what happens when we make hurtful comments. These are things that can happen. And we end up deceiving ourselves. We think, well, I'm helping this person. I'm bringing them closer to God. Meanwhile, they want to bring you closer to God, right? We have those moments, don't we? And in the end, it doesn't benefit anybody. In the end, we have a church full of hurt people instead of unified people. Speaking evil against your brother makes you a judge, not a doer. And finally, James says, look, the ultimate reason is there is really only one judge. Verse 12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. The Apostle Paul says this. He says in Romans chapter 14, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. There is one lawgiver. There is one judge, and I will give an account not of anybody else around me, not of any of you. I'll give an account of who? Myself. Only myself. And the sooner that I realize that, the sooner I humble myself and realize that I'm accountable for me and me only, that's when I can begin to be a doer and not just a hearer. That's when I begin to speak not evil, but goodwill toward a brother. James says there's only one judge. There's only one lawgiver. Only one. And you, my friend, are not it. And isn't that reassuring for all of us? It should be. It should take a load off, because I don't have to go around making sure everybody's life is right. That's not my job to do. Okay? It's not. Yes, I'm the pastor, and we try to lead people. We try to direct people and things like that. And the Holy Spirit convicts. Okay? But we're not going to go around and point out people's sin to them and say, look, you're sinning before God, and until you get right, you're not welcome here. We're not going to do that, because we're a room full of people who are messed up, right? We're all growing. But God has said, I'm going to give an account of myself, not anybody else, but just myself, because he said, I am the judge, not you. I am the judge. The exhortation here then is to what? Examine yourselves. It says right there, verse 12, the very end of verse 12, who are you to judge your neighbor? And that's a question I want to ask, is who are you? Who exactly do you think you are? Do you think that you're somebody worthy of judging your neighbor? Do you think you're somebody worthy of judging your wife? Do you think you're worthy of judging your husband? Do you think you're worthy of judging your coworkers? Who are you? Examine yourself. God says, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself before the Lord, and what? And he will exalt you. If you don't humble yourself before the Lord, what is the implication here? He will not exalt you. There's really two options here. It's like we talk about this. I was talking to a fellow pastor a couple weeks ago. We made a comment how marriage, in fact, I've had a couple conversations just recently on this, how marriage doesn't have a neutral. Relationships don't have a neutral. You're either going up or you're going down. There is no cruising. It takes energy to do it. If you think you're just cruising and getting by and everything's okay, I'm here to tell you that for your spouse, it's probably not that way. There is no neutral. And in our relationships with God, our relationships with each other, there is no neutral. We either understand this, we either understand that I have to examine myself and I have to work on my Christian life, I have to work on how I'm living, or rather I'm going backwards. I'm either going forward or I'm going backwards. There is no just being there. You know, we call it, there's a denomination, I'm not going to say the name, we call them the frozen chosen, right? Because, well, we're chosen, but we're not going to do anything. We're frozen because, it's all up to God, right? We're the frozen chosen. But sometimes we think the same way. Sometimes we act the same way. I know that God loves me, but I'm not really going to do much about it. I'm just going to sit here comfortable in my pew. That's what we're going to do. That's why we took the pews out. Okay, bed. Maybe not. All right? But these are the things that we get sometimes. We get caught up in the thing, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm comfortable. And God says, no, you're not okay. Examine yourselves. Because someday we're going to stand before God. So what's he say in Romans chapter 12? For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Catch that? To think with sober judgment. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. To think with sober judgment. Don't think of yourself as being all this and more, all right? But to think with sober judgment. In other words, face reality. Who are you? Who are you? And if you place your faith in Christ, then you're forgiven. That's what we know. We're forgiven, and so there's an assurance in that. But that doesn't mean we're perfect. And so because of that, there's room for us to grow, and there's room for all of us to grow. And if we understand there's room for me to grow, and I've got my own stuff I'm dealing with, then I am not going to speak evil against my brother, because I know I'm really, in reality, I'm no better than he is. I am absolutely no better than anyone else. If I consider myself, if I sit there and I think with sober judgment, James says, who are you? That's a question you have to answer. Who are you? You know, there's three questions here. There's three things to consider as you're going through this whole thing and we're thinking about this, to speak or not to speak. Should I share something or not to share something? Because there are times in our lives that we just feel the urge to say something. We think, well, this is going to benefit somebody. This is going to help them. Well, there's some things to think about. One of the things you're saying, does this benefit my brother? Does this benefit my brother? Spreading a rumor about someone, does that actually help them? Speaking evil against somebody, does that actually help them? Speaking to them in a harsh way, does that actually help them? Does this help my brother? And the way you're speaking, is it helpful to your brother? Is it helpful to the one you're speaking about? Is it helpful to the one you're speaking to? Does it help my brother? That's a good question to ask. Is what I'm saying helpful? Does this benefit you? Sometimes in church, and we're so good at this, you know, I just got a prayer request to share. So-and-so hurt me really bad, and I need to get through the hurt. I'm so spiritual because I'm praying about it, right? Does that really help you? And now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that prayer doesn't help. But when there's a conflict, what does God say to do with conflict? When you're in conflict with a brother, how does God say to resolve it? You go to the brother, right? You don't go to your prayer group. You don't go to your Bible study. You go to your brother. If somebody there has hurt you and God says, look, this is how you deal with it. You go to that person. So if you really want to benefit you, you don't talk about it around someone else's back. You talk about it to the person that hurts you. So we ask the question, does it benefit my brother? And sometimes we answer poorly, and so we hurt our brother. But then we don't want our brother to go spreading that around. We want our brother to be willing to come to us and say, look, man, that hurt. Give us time to sober judgment, consider ourselves, think, you know what, you're right. You apologize, and in the end, you benefited both of you. It brought you closer together. Conflict does that. It can bring you closer together, but if you mishandle it, it'll push you apart. Does it benefit your brother? Does it benefit you? Is what you're saying benefit you? Finally, does it glorify God? In the end, does it glorify God? And we say, well, how do we glorify God? Well, we glorify God by obeying his commands. Remember, be doers, not hearers. And God has given us clear ways of dealing with conflict. God has given us clear ways of dealing with hurt. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do it? We're a church united. But there are many different personalities in here. Many different personalities. And there are some personalities that mesh better than other personalities, right? And sometimes it's easy to want to speak harshly against somebody who you just don't quite agree with what they're doing. And you think, man, did you see what so-and-so did this week? Does that really help him? Does that help you? Does that glorify God? Or if we're a church, they say, you know what, God? I as a person want to examine myself. And the neighbor next to you, I as a person want to examine myself. If everybody here is willing to look at themselves, to humble themselves, I just sit here and I think, man, what could God do through us? And I look over and over and over again, I know that God can use and is using our church. But I know that God can and will do it in a much greater way as we continue to individually humble ourselves before God, submit ourselves to God. Individually, we love each other. We fulfill the royal law of loving each other. If we can do that as a group, God can and will do some amazing things through us. God, we come to you today, and Father, I praise you. I praise you for your word, and I praise you for the wisdom of James and just what it means to us. And man, God, it's so real. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we really are honest with ourselves, we can recognize that, you know what? Sometimes it's not easy to keep our mouths shut. Sometimes we just want to say something that's really not beneficial to anybody. And in the end, all it does is hurt. God, I pray that we'd be sensitive to that. I pray that you would help us as we develop filters for our words. God, help us grow. Please help us grow. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.